You're listening to DraftKings Network.
A supportive work environment can help everyone working in schools stay resilient.
Just finding people that can reassure me that I'm doing my best and that there are people out there who understand me and can help me through these situations.
You are not alone.
Leaning on each other, colleagues in education is essential. You have to.
We take care of one another.
Find what helps at cdcfoundation.org/how right now. That's cdcfoundation.org/how right now.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Journeyman. I am back at it today with my guy, ATL Shawty, Juju Gotti, as well as Dragonfly Jones, and everyone's favorite hater, Amin L. Hassan. We talk Deion Sanders' Colorado debut, Michigan martyr Jim Harbaugh, visions of Kobe, and so much more. Let's get to it.
Who are these guys?
It's my theme music. Every good hero should have some.
This is an institution of learning, ladies and gentlemen. If you can't control it, how can you teach? Discipline is not the enemy of enthusiasm.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Journeyman, brought to you by the good folks at the DraftKings Network and Meadowlark Media. As always, I am your host, Andrew Hawkins, seven-year NFL veteran and one-time meter of Deion Sanders, which is relevant in this episode. It's probably surprising that I actually only met him once. But I am joined today by my guys, Juju, Shawty, ATL legend, WNBA purist, as well as my boy, Tyler Per Year, a.k.a. Dragonfly Jones of the Jenkins and Jones podcast. Later on, we'll be joined by our dude, Amin L. Hassan. Fellas, what's up? How's everybody doing? How was your weekend, Tyler? What did you do, man? Did you cook out?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I do some ribs on the grill. You know, me and wifey, you know, pigged out. We had a good little weekend, man. You know, sent some off in style, man. How was your weekend?
It was good. It was good. I don't grill. I'm not a grill master. I'll be honest with you, man.
We got to get you on that, bro.
Yeah, I know. I people have threatened to pull my black card numerous times.
I'm a grill evangelist. I try to get all the homies on the grill and shit, but, see, you know, limited success with that.
I'm a Uber Eats them dogs right to the crib, bro.
Yeah, I feel you.
I'm disappointed in myself. Juju, how was your Labor Day weekend, my boy?
See, mine was cool. I went to my first wedding that I ever been to in my entire life. My partner got married to my homegirl. You feel me? I was there when they met. They were drunk as hell in the club. I was like, boy, this shit ain't gonna last worth a damn. They got married, bro. They got beautiful family. Like, salute to them, man.
Big salute.
That's beautiful day.
That's dope. Yeah. That is amazing. But, Juju, that was your first wedding. How old are you, Juju?
Bro, I'm old enough to party, you feel me? the feds out there watching. They're taking notes and they clicking links.
You old enough to have been to a wedding at some point. So you got to explain to us here on the show as well as the viewers, how the hell was that your first wedding you've ever been to?
Bro, unfortunately, how my life went, I didn't have a lot of friends. I always wanted a lot of friends. I feel like if we just peel back the curtain, you feel me? That's one of my deepest therapies type shits. Like, I'm always looking for friends. But my entire life, the circumstances I done put myself into / lifestyle, I tried to chase instead of the right ones, trying to impress certain friends when I should have been living for myself and my family. Mm. It had me in a lot of solitary years and a lot of solid. My friends weren't never on no marriage. All my friends was busting guns and robbing each other. So
I know a lot of gangsters.
Thank God that brought still me out of that. You feel me?
Nah,
and
amen
now
to that.
Enjoying this side of life.
Amen to that. And I got a smile on my face because it's a crazy thing. But you went real deep. You went real serious, and I couldn't wipe the smile off in the middle of what you were saying. And so I kept it on, Jew. But that is great perspective. But I will also say I got a lot of gun busting friends that I grew up with too. And even they even tried a marriage a couple times. So you got to grade us out. I've been to a lot of weddings. It's 50-50 them things. Some make it, some don't. That is the reality and statistics of life. Grade the wedding for me, Ju. How was the experience? I'm sure you've seen it on TV a bunch of times. You heard. You've seen them on Instagram and all the places.
Yeah.
What's the Ju grade?
It was I think he's Argentinian, and her family, I might be Cuban or something, I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
But it was a lot of flavor, a lot of dancing. So
yeah, and I know that food was busting too.
Food was stupendous. Bussing. I was like, yeah. Boyardee must have cooked this one. That thing was slamming, so it was a 10 in my book.
That's dope. You know, my favorite thing about weddings is going to cross cultural weddings, right?
Yeah.
Like a wedding like that. I went to one of my good friends summer. I was my first Jewish wedding this summer, and they turn up at the weddings. Juju, you haven't even been to a black wedding yet. That's crazy.
Right, never. That's what my insecurity walking into that wedding for real was. Dang, I'm one of the only brothers here. It was like three of us, maybe.
Uh-huh.
It was three brothers in the entire shit, and that was the only black people. And so I'm always a little insecure, or I don't want to come off a certain way to these people, or you know what I mean? Just natural old shit. And they welcomed me in and was so comforting. That was the plus to me. They made me feel like they knew me for years. You feel me? So salute to them folks.
Lucky for you, Jude, there's a meme that goes around. Black people can fit anywhere, man. So you you were good. You were good no matter what. All right, so also this weekend, besides Juju getting to his first wedding ever, which is monumental, there was other monumental things happening in college football. It's really the wild, wild west. Players is getting paid like crazy. Players is transferring. You got small schools beating big schools. But the biggest headline of the weekend was the guy that is on the jersey you have on right now, Juju. Primetime made his debut as the Colorado head coach in tremendous fashion. They knocked off TCU, who was ranked 17 and is a returning recipient of the national championship a year ago. And I think it shocked a lot of people. So, Tyler, I'm going to start with you. Were you shocked by the fact that Deion Sanders, prime time, made good on all the trash he's been talking since he became a Buffalo?
I mean, I wasn't all that shocked, because the thing is, you know, I saw a lot of people like, wow, you know, Shador is a real baller. Bro, he's been a baller. He was a five-star in high school, right? He had Clemson and Bama and USC, you know, top flight schools on his bumper. But I think a lot of people looked at that as, you know, programs just wanted to cozy in and get Deion's kid there, you know, because that's always good for business.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But you know, Shador balled out. Travis Hunter, you know what I'm saying? You could say he's, you know, on Heisman watch, you know, phenomenal two-way player, played like 100 snaps that game. So no, I wasn't all that shocked, you know. And of course, after, you know, the last time we saw TCU, they got their ass smacked up by Georgia, you know. Of course, it's a different roster this year, but still, you know, I wasn't that shocked. I do think that, you know, Deion took a victory lap, as you should. Talk your shit, you know. I'm all for that, right? Like, celebrate every motherfucking thing. That's my motto. But shit's gonna get real in a couple weeks when Colorado got Oregon and USC back to back. So that's what we really gonna see, you know, what this squad is made of.
I think it was, I expected it to happen, not because I'm some guru, not because I know better. I just have a rational confidence in primetime, bro. Whatever he say he gonna do, I be like, bro, he gonna do it. I don't give a damn. It's gonna happen. I cleaned up my whole crew. All my partners owe me a little something after this weekend. Shout out to those who have come through. Shout out to those who are watching this and still gotta hit that phone. You feel me? But everything Primer said he was gonna do in the league, out the league, he done did it, bro. My boy even got his hairline back. Like, that's underrated. Like, remember, he was at the network for a while, and them Ravens, that thing was out of here, John. That thing has come back, full effect. So salute to it, bro. And like you said, bro, Shador been balling. What's the puzzle? You feel me? Hunter been him. So it's really the America that was kind of asleep, you feel me? And I'm glad he woke them boys up that weekend. You did.
Well, I think the thing about Deion Sanders is you said that you had a rational confidence in primetime. And I think at this stage of life and in sports and what we know about Deion Sanders is it's actually not irrational to have confidence in primetime. And I think that's where there's been a little bit of a reckoning, at least for myself, right? Because it's not that I didn't think Colorado would do well. I actually knew they would do well. I actually knew Deion Sanders would be a great coach, because college football is not about X's and O's. It's about the Jimmys and the Joes. If you can walk into homes of five-star and four-star recruits and get them to come to your school, you will not only have a chance to win, you will have a chance eventually at a national championship. And if he was able to do that at Jackson State with those facilities and basically operating at a deficit compared to high-level Division I FBS football, that tells you, if you give him that backing, it's only a matter of time before he turns that program around. And it happened very, very fast. So that part didn't surprise me. The surprising part to me was that when he left Jackson State and went to Colorado, I was like, ugh, I don't care about Colorado. I really don't. Man. You could go there and win all the games in the national championship, and I don't think I will care. I don't think anybody outside of Colorado fans will give a damn. And that's where I think I underestimated him, because here I am again, invested in Colorado Buffalo football like I was Jackson State. And I like to think it was my black side that was like, yeah, HBCU, and I think there was some of that. But here I am still, can't wait for the next Colorado game, because I love the primetime narrative. I've seen so many podcasts. I've seen so many interviews. And obviously, everybody's pulling the receipts of everyone who was talking that trash about what Deion could and couldn't do. And I always hated it, because I'm like, who the hell are you to tell primetime anything about the game of football? I don't think people realize he wasn't just a good player. This guy transcended. Like, when I talked earlier about me meeting him once, I remember that distinctly. I was 30-something years old, and I felt like a little kid in a candy store. There's not very many athletes, for me, that have that kind of presence. And Deion has that, and it goes across all sports. And so, yeah, him kind of coming out the gate, talking his trash, doing what he does, and everything he said in his postgame for me was completely right. Like, people hate people who are so confident in themselves, and the outside world has no bearings on where that level of confidence is. And Deion is the poster child for that.
For sure. I mean, I know you said, you know, you didn't give a damn about Colorado football. Shit, Deion didn't either.
No, he didn't.
let's be real. This is not the final destination. You know, I think his eyes are on that FSU job. And, you know, Mike Norvell's seat is a little hot there. So, but yeah, you know, I was with you. I didn't like the way that, you know, some of the comments he made when he exited Jackson State, right? Like, I didn't like the whole, you know, I tried to be the HBCU savior and I couldn't get it done. And, and you know, he hops out here talking about how only 8% of alumni gives back when, you know, that's the rate for PWIs too. And and Jackson State had a fundraiser while he was there where the goal was 500,000, you know, where they reached out to alumni, you know, faculty, you know, student organizations to get that raise. And they raised 600,000, exceeded that goal by 100,000. So, you know, I didn't like, you know, the narrative that he painted when we all knew that Jackson State was just a pit stop, right? You know, we all knew that he was not planning to be there for long. We all knew that was going to be a springboard position, you know, to get to another position. But, you know, I would never root for Deion to fail. And I think that that's how he probably took a lot of that criticism, is that guys want to see him fall. And, you know, whatever you got to do to motivate yourself, you know, Deion's, you know, a prime, you know, motivator. He knows how to, you know, get through to those young men that he's got there. So, you know, like I said, I'm looking forward to what he's doing with this Colorado program. But like I said, we all know this is just a pit stop, too.
Yeah.
And after the game, he said, salute to all y'all that believed in me. Salute to the hood. I stood up on the bed. I couldn't believe he said that out loud. You feel me? Salute to prime time, man. He got folks on Boulder Crest blind Colorado jerseys right
now. That's crazy.
You feel me? Come on, man. That's powerful.
It's crazy. I haven't seen this much Colorado fandom or interest from the black community since the days when Eric Bieniemy was there, and like the old school Colorado days.
Cordell Stewart back there.
Slash was getting it busy. Well, you talked about like different ways of motivating your team, like whatever you have to do. And that gets us to our next topic. I don't know if you guys caught the Michigan game with Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh is currently serving a self-imposed suspension for recruiting violations, which, take a step back, recruiting violations in this day and age is wild. That's crazy.
Right.
That's,
like, how are you still getting busted?
Like, what are you doing?
NIL shit. You know what I mean?
Like, it's the Wild Wild West. How are you still breaking? What rules are you breaking? How are you doing this? Bruh. That's amazing.
And he got caught buying cheeseburgers or some shit, bro. That's the part. Like, come on.
They can have whole McDonald's contracts now. It's like, it's not. I don't know what you was doing. Like, you was trying to, I don't know, get NFL players eligibility. I don't know what it was, but he's serving his 3 to 4 game suspension. I think it's 3 game suspension. And his players had the free Harbaugh t-shirts on coming into the game. The opening snap, they held their fours up, which was Harbaugh's number as a player, like free my coach, doing life in the box.
Cheeseburgers.
It seemed a little extra. It seemed a little extra, Juju. That's all I'm saying. What were your thoughts? Give it to me.
Bruh, I thought, and I love my brothers and sisters from the Caucasus Mountains, all my Caucasian brothers and sisters. I love y'all from the bottom of my heart. But I was like, yeah, this is some of y'all stuff going on here. Like, ain't nobody talking about no damn free heart, bro, man. Come on, this whole situation is self-imposed, goofy. And salute to them folks for trying to feel like they banging some. I don't know, bro. Salute to Michigan. I love all. Salute to Jalen Rose. Salute to Juwan Howard. I got y'all back, bro. But y'all got to tell them folks
naming
to
random
cut
Michigan
t-shirts
alone.
Out. Free Harbaugh. No, 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 no. Don't do that.
Yeah, man. It's just college kids being college kids. You know, they're going to make shit extra. They're going to always take it to 10. So, you know, but the whole thing about it was I didn't think they were, you know, they were so serious about this shit. I was like, bro, I thought y'all were just, you know, halfway clowning. But they was ready to die for that shit. Like, I was like, bro, he's going to be back in like 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Y'all going to meet the man like in the locker room after the game probably. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that shit was a little wild.
Harbaugh might be the white primetime, bro. Now that I'm thinking about it, because if you Harbaugh's players historically ride for Harbaugh, like under all the circumstances, I think we on the public always have been like, we scrutinize him. He took a while to beat Ohio State and all the things. But if you think back to players, even from Colin Kaepernick, they ride for Harbaugh, bro. So I should be saluting. We making jokes and we probably should be saluting that man.
Bro, primetime would have been beat Ohio State. They would have got year two. You feel me?
More motivation. The quarterback of Notre Dame, Sam Hartman, he was spotted wearing a necklace that had a piece of his surgically removed rib on it. More motivation. Like, this is the kind of stuff players do for people that don't understand. Like, and the Harbaugh thing fits into this. The primetime thing fits into this. We always have to find a way to make ourselves the underdog. Right. It is a place you have to operate from. I will honestly go in to say, like, I operated as an underdog my whole life, and I got in a situation where I was no longer the underdog, and it was the most uncomfortable year of my life with expectation that everyone was like, oh, yeah, you're really it. I did not know how to function. So for quarterbacks like Sam Hartman, who has to put that rib on there, which is disgusting in a lot of ways, and it's not the drip that you're not going to get in GQ with that. You're not going to get much love from probably the teammates, but it's probably a motivating factor to say, okay, look, never mind that I was a top recruit. I'm at one of the most prestigious universities ever with a great football team and all the things. I am still an underdog. And I think we all can appreciate that mentality a little bit, Tyler.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm going to call back to Juju's comment about how, you know, shouting out our brothers in the Caucasus Mountains on this one. But yeah, that is some wild shit. What's crazy about it to me is that doesn't seem like some quarterback shit, right? That seems like some linebacker shit or some
that
strong
is.
Safety shit. You know what I'm saying?
Who was the linebacker in the program? Lattimore?
Right? I don't know. Quarterbacks do not have that kind of mentality, you right. know, especially at Notre Dame, like dog. But yeah, man. I mean, like I said, you know, just like with the Michigan shit, college kids gonna be college kids. You know, there's some college kid shit. I'm sure he's gonna look back in a few years, and be like, yeah, I was probably wilding a bit on that one.
Yeah, he looked back this weekend and was like, man, well, I told folks what this was, man. Damn, now I gotta tuck it in.
You go got a rib, put a iced out a rib. Hey, like, man. Come on, man.
One rib.
All right. Well,
one rib.
Whatever you gotta do to get your ribs on Labor Day weekend, do what you do, Sam Hartman. All right, we're gonna take a little break and come back and talk some more college football and NBA and NFL in just a moment. Drop the bass. So we opened this show up talking about all the craziness that was going on in college football this week. And there's other things we didn't talk about. Texas State beat Baylor, which is crazy. Texas State, I feel like, just became a Division I FBS team in the last decade. Clemson went down to Duke, which is just, in my wildest dreams, I wouldn't imagine that. But Clemson and Dabo have put their feet in the sand and say, hey, we are not taking part in the transfer portal, and they will continue to lose until they get right. But with all the conversation going on, the debate is happening of like, okay, well, college football is literally changing in front of our eyes as we see Colorado go from a 1-10 team to beating TCU with an entirely new roster in a year's time, which has been crazy traditionally. And people are on a lot of sides of the fence. There's the traditionalists who feel like it's changing the game too much too fast. And then there's players or people that I would say on the other side, like myself, that think, yo, bring more money. Bring it all. Make it professional football, because that's basically what it's been without the contracts anyway. So, Juju, we'll start with you. What is your perspective on college football in today's day and age?
Yeah, I agree what you said. Like, Dabo Swinney, when keeping it real goes wrong, bro, you're going to keep on keeping it real, and your team is going to get worse and worse and worse every year because the times is moving on. And the coaches who stick to that, like, the kids shouldn't get paid. I don't understand them for real. It's like, what is your real motivation behind, like, putting your soapbox in the ground and just talking about that. Like, why not pay these kids? You feel me? If they get hurt playing for you, they through for real. That ain't just they play for you days over with. Like, that hamstring gonna be a doozy going forward. So I think that the people who stand on don't pay the kids is more goofy. So I like seeing Dabo lose to Duke. That's hilarious.
I celebrate it.
Until they get with the program, I think they can stay getting left behind.
Yeah, it's wild, like the 180 that I think a lot of us have done on Dabo, because when he first kind of blew up, I think a lot of us liked him. He seemed like, you know, down home, good country folk. And then
he had a good name,
like, just and then the turn he's taken, where he's just like taking every chance he gets to talk about how he will not, you know, be participating. He doesn't want his guys participating in NIL. He doesn't want his players cashing out, right? Like, he's against the transfer portal. Like, I just don't get what his deal is there. But, you know, I think we saw it all last night when he had motherfuckers rooting for Duke, bro. Like how far have you fallen when you're up against Duke and you're the villain? You know what I'm saying? Wild. So, but yeah, you know, I want these kids to get paid. You know, I don't have any issue with the transfer portal, because you got to understand that these kids have 3 or 4 years to get out there and show, you know, NFL scouts, NFL eyes, that they can play at the next level. Mm-hmm. If you're in a spot where that's going to, you know, that's just not going to happen, you got to go somewhere where that will happen. So I'm not against the transfer portal. These kids should have been getting paid. And like I said, I just don't know why Dabo keeps digging his heels in this, because it's going to wind up biting his program in the ass. And I feel like we're starting to see, you know, the beginning of that.
It feels reminiscent of when in the 70s and 60s, colleges wouldn't recruit black players, and the other colleges were. And the people that were the last ones to come recruit black players started getting their ass kicked, and they was like, well, we should probably let black people come to the school now. It does feel like that. But devil's advocate, Tyler, for the people who are saying, well, there's conference realignments that are changing. The Stanford swim team has to now travel across the country, and their parents have to go there to watch them swim, all based off of football and money and TV contracts. Or the fact that people are now like, well, whoever has the most money is going to field the best team, because players are getting paid. And it for people at home, these ain't little bags. I know a tight end that's going to school. He's a 3 to 4 star, like a teeter, and he's making $120,000 a year through his college football tenure starting next year. So this is I won't call him a low level player, but that's not a 5 star. So you can imagine what the top guys are making, Tyler. So this game is going to change. And yes, if you have more money in the boosters, your team will be better. You can pay for coaches. You can pay for players. You can revamp your university's team almost immediately. You do not give a damn about any of that, Tyler. That's what you're saying.
No, you know, I'm not a fan of the conference realignment. Like, you know, like you mentioned Stanford in the ACC.
Say it
like
with your chest, man. Don't back down.
No. I'm not with the conference. I want the kids to get paid.
Okay.
You know, I'm not riding with the NCAA board, who is, like you mentioned, you know, just so greedy and money focused here that they're putting Stanford in the ACC and shit like that. I'm not on board with that. You know what I'm saying? Because I think that, because, you know, besides that just being absurd, I think it's unfair to the kids, to the parents of the kids, like you mentioned. But, you know, my whole thing is, bro, the money was always there, even for terrible programs. You know what I mean? Because I remember when Deion first took the job at Colorado, and everyone was like, what is Colorado's football even like? Like, what is their reputation? What is their legacy? Like, what is the prestige of that program? And the answer people kept saying was, well, they've got great facilities. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And whenever you ask, how good is a college football program? And the answer you get is, they've got great facilities. That is telling you they literally cannot buy players to come there, right? And they're putting that money into, like, gyms and pec fly machines and shit like that, right? Yeah, so Colorado always had the money. They just couldn't get the guys. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And now you got a guy like Deion, you know, cool as hell. All the kids love him. They're going to get the guys now. They're going to be putting that money into those kids, right? Like, that money that, like I said, that went to the gym and went to pec fly machines and squat machines and shit, that's going to go to some Hellcats now, you know, for
these kids. Some track hawks on campus, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Exactly, and the opposite of that with the WNBA. Look, little sis Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, they making more money than they can possibly ever think about making with the W right now.
Angel said she's doing all 4 years. She said she ain't going nowhere.
I ain't never leaving.
You feel me? So NIL blessing them folks with to keep their presence type shit. So it's like, come on, get it together. Realize that this, once they get it together as far as like seeing how they can incorporate or coordinate these monies, these NIL deals to transfer across leagues, and maybe some of the W players can get sponsored or whatever the case is. I think they're gonna have these slippery slopes of coaches not believing in this, and whenever the program director kind of gonna get you booted out quicker than if you was, you know what I mean, on their side. So stick strong to your morals, brothers and sisters. But remember, this is a cold, cold world.
It's about the money. It's always been about the money, and that's my thing, and why I'm so for the players getting paid, because people are like, oh, it's like professional football now. It's always been professional football. It was hard as hell playing college football and trying to do school. And this is, I graduated from Columbia with a 4.0 while I was in the NFL, and I can promise you, even in that moment, it wasn't as hard as it was in college football, because college football is two times as hard. Come on, bro. I appreciate that. I wasn't trying to stun on that one. I was just trying to get a context.
Bro, just slide in. I'm not just some guy. I went to Ivy League school while I was NFL player 4.0. That's big shit, man. Congrats, bro.
I appreciate that. But what I'm saying is that was easier than college football to me. Mm-hmm. Because college football, there is the season, and then there is winter conditioning starts immediately, about a couple of weeks after the season. Then you go into spring ball, and then you go back into summer workouts, and you do the same thing over again for 4 to 5 years. There is no break, and they, you know, the Saban, the Dabo Sweeney mentality is, I had you for 4 years. I'm going to grind you and run you into the ground. I played in professionally, and college football was two times as hard as playing professionally in the NFL, and I went to Toledo. I wasn't even at the really big programs. And so a lot of the injuries I have now that hurt, that still bother me, actually came from my college career. And so when you think about players, even what you said, Tyler, of like there's 3 to 4 years for athletes to showcase themselves for the NFL, the reality is most of them aren't going to the NFL because they're not good enough. The NFL is a completely different beast, even from high-level Division I football, and people don't realize that. It's like it is next level. It's like 5% go to the NFL for a reason. So the reality is this is the peak time for 95% of football athletes. Like this is it. This is what you got. You've worked your butt off, and you get these 3 years at Clemson or these 4 years at Notre Dame or these 2 years at Oregon or whatever it is. You should be able to make money in the peak of something that's making so much money for everyone else. So I don't mind conference realignment. I could see them sectioning off football into its own thing. But regardless, if that's how you make your money and it allows me to make my money, have at it, because it's always been big business. But for the athletes, they've always been on the outside looking in, under the guise that they're getting an education that is equivalent to what they're putting their bodies through, what they're putting their lives through, and something that's going to bother them and affect them for the rest of their years.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. You know, I totally agree with you that, you know, like you said, 95% of these guys aren't going to the league. But for that those 5% of guys who are going to the league, like you take a guy like Jalen Hurts, for instance, who if he didn't get out of Alabama, you know, he probably slips in the draft. He's probably not in as good of a spot as he is in Philadelphia right now, where he's like, you know, a top 3, top 5 quarterback in the league. So, you know, for the guys who do have that potential, who can get to the league, I do think that the transfer portal is vital. And also, you know, like you mentioned, there are probably some delusional guys, man, coach just hating, nah, bro, you're just not good. But either way, that you still deserve that freedom to go somewhere else. You so choose.
The tattoo 5 from Ohio State, who all got in trouble for getting tattoos, and in this day and age, it's just crazy now. They were trading tattoos for jerseys, right? In this world where, you know, mid-level players are making $100,000 a year, these guys lost their eligibility. Terrell Pryor had to enter the NFL early. The rest of them never panned out and really didn't have.
Mike Tressel got fired behind.
Mike Tressel got fired, right? Like, that was the peak of the, they should have been making the most money they could in those moments, because they weren't guys that were going to go on to have 10-year NFL careers, right? And so to even take that away from them in that thing, it's just, to your point, Tyler, it's a messed up world, but that is the world that we live in.
Do that.
Yeah. So you talked about Jalen Hurts, and also in this Jalen Hurts kind of, you know, as a black quarterback, he was a guy who had to transfer, went to Oklahoma. They tried to get him to play receiver. They tried to get Lamar Jackson to work out for other positions, right? And so in this transfer portal world, you know, we wouldn't have our Jalen Hurtses or our Lamar Jacksons because of these stereotypes or stereotypical things they've put on athletes, college athletes, black quarterbacks specifically. And in Baltimore, we actually have a full quarterback room for the first time ever. And it's not just the players. It's the backup, the third stringer are all black quarterbacks, and the quarterback coach is black. So we've heard the debates for years and years about how this narrative is starting to change, obviously with the Patrick Mahomes, the Jalen Hurts, the Lamar Jacksons, the Russell Wilsons, and so on and so forth, where it's no longer what it used to be, whereas that a black quarterback wasn't smart enough to lead a team, or there were unconscious biases that would give white quarterbacks the advantage over black quarterbacks. Is this something I've seen it all over the place? Is this something that should be celebrated, or should it feel more like the norm and us take it all in stride?
It should be celebrated for sure. Like 100,000,000,000%. Them folks hijacked the narrative of Colin Kaepernick. He died so we can walk. They should celebrate this for yardage or two black coordinators in the Super Bowl, whatever. Celebrate this. They should do a billboard in Baltimore. They should do it all. Put all the stops in the parade, too.
Mm. Put all the stops in the parade. to throw a party for it. I think, like, you know, a good measurement of progress is when things like this aren't a big deal anymore. You know what I mean? Yep. And I feel like this isn't being made into a big deal. I feel like it's a nice little fun fact. And I think that's a sign of progress right there. Yeah. You feel me? Yeah. But y'all were saying, Lamar Jackson, I think he has even gone through, you know, some shit on the pro level where guys are like questioning his, you know, playmaking ability, his reads and all that. And I feel like that's still kind of rooted in the whole, you know, tired, you know, black quarterbacks, you know, don't aren't as intelligent as white quarterbacks thing there. But, you know, I never understood the Lamar hate. I think he's a phenomenal player. He's a MVP. So, you know, room for him to ball out this season.
Absolutely.
Sure.
I agree with that. And I think it makes sense. That's why I won't say that it shouldn't be celebrated. I agree. I think it's a great note, and it does show progress. But I think it went against all logic previously, and I never understood that. I never understood for quarterbacks like Lamar that you build your offense around that have a certain skill set, why you wouldn't also go get quarterbacks with that same skill set. And so I think the backups of Lamar Jackson are less about that they're black. Yes, they are black quarterbacks, but not every black quarterback is a mobile quarterback, right? And in today's day and age, there are white quarterbacks who run as well. But I think the reason why it is the way it is because his backup should have a skill set like he has, so that way if he gets hurt, your offense can stay afloat in the similar vein. You don't have to change a bunch of things up. And so what the ridiculousness to me is when a quarterback who is not mobile is backing up Michael Vick. That never made sense. Right? For me, at least. So when I feel Michael Vick is backing up Donovan McNabb in that time, it made sense because he can do a lot of the same things Donovan McNabb can do. And so that's where I'm like, yeah, this feels more like a smart football move by Harbaugh and the Ravens than it is them trying to make, you know, their early entry for Black History Fun Fact of the Year. So.
And can we celebrate the fact that Lamar ain't never been in the lick of trouble? I don't see him in the news. I don't see him being locked up for XYZ, nothing domestic or international. You feel me? Like, and he be with the sniper gang. He be with Kodak. That's locked up central. He supposed to be locked up. Man, that boy be staying clean, bro. Salute to Lamar, his team, his mama. Phenomenal job, man. Highest paid. Come on, brother. Throw the parade now.
Baltimore. Lamar Jackson is one of the most professional players that I've ever been around. That is not like, I'm not saying that because he's black, and because I don't believe that. I'm telling you, there is very few players I've ever met that are more focused on winning championships than Lamar Jackson, and that is a fact. And I think that narrative gets lost. But if you look back at every single interview he's done in his career, it has never slipped one time. They ask him what his goals are. They're to win a championship, and I don't care how much of a liar you are. You are going to slip up at some point. And every time I've met him, every time I've spoken to him, every time I've been around him, outside of the cameras, outside of football, that narrative shines through every time. So I think that's what makes Lamar Jackson so special. We're going to take a quick break. And we'll be back to talk some more football. And eventually, my man Amin El-Hassan is going to be in the building. We're going to talk some basketball as well. What's up, everybody? Welcome back. We got our guy Amin El-Hassan in the building. It's been too long, but he is back in the Journeyman universe. And we were talking in the break about Snuggies, because I rocked a Snuggie from like 2009 to like 2012 probably. And you put the ridiculous face on about made-for-TV products, but I think that was a good product, bro.
Why'd you stop? It was a good product.
It got old, and I didn't buy another one. And I was spending less time on the couch getting tweets off than I was then, because I was on the couch a lot.
It sounds like you full circle though. You come back to your roots.
I do. I probably next time you're on, I'm going to cop a Snuggie and wear it here in studio. Tyler, you didn't have a Snuggie?
No.
Come on, man.
I had a blanket, bro. That's all I needed. Like, I didn't understand the allure of the Snuggie, man. It's just a robe that you wear backwards, bro.
No, it's functional, man. It's got like a certain, like the ratio from arm to sleeve is there. Juju, you had a Snuggie, right?
Yeah, I had a plethora of Snuggies.
Zuba's, yeah, my dog, Zuba, man.
Snuggies, Georgia, UGA Snuggies. You feel
See,
me?
He, had, Snuggies. He was matching his forces to the Snuggies.
You feel me? The best made-for-TV product, though, that came out on the commercial was the clapper. The clap-on, clap-off.
Oh, I always wanted one.
That's a good one. Yeah, that was That's a good one. But the worst made-for-TV product, because you mentioned the J.J. Redick shooting video.
J.J. Redick.
I got a Torrey Holt wide receiver skills video in college. So I'm up late night in college, and, you know, I'm trying to get to the league. That's my goal. I'm a 5'7 receiver at Toledo. I'm going to need some NFL knowledge in my system, right?
You went to Torrey Holt.
So I'm up there. I'm like, Torrey Holt is dope. You know, he plays the slot. He plays the outside, and he was very convincing. I'm going to show you what you need to make it to the next level and maximize what it takes. And I'm like, I need all of this. So I buy it, right? I have a bank card, I think. There's not much money on it. It was $30. I might have had $48 in my account. Shipping, this is not a joke. Plus shipping and handling. I get the video. I wait for it, like, I'm talking on pins and needles waiting for this thing to come in. I pop it in. This is the most elementary teaching of wide receiver I have ever seen. It was like, and make sure you balance your stance between your back leg and your front leg.
Good advice, man. Yeah.
When the ball is coming, put your hands right in front of your face so it doesn't hit. And I'm like, come on, this is not helping me. And so I was so mad at myself for spending what was 70% of my net worth on this DVD, and I've seen Torrey Holt later in life, and I've voiced to him many times. In every podcast or show I've done, when the opportunity arises, I say, Torrey, you owe me $30 with interest and inflation. Because $30 to me then was a lot more than $30 to me now, and I need that back.
And let's be fair. You did make it, though. I mean, like, if I'm Torrey Holt, I'm like, you're welcome.
No, it wasn't.
So Torrey Holt got you, bro. Hey, nine-finger bandit right there. You ever seen Bro's pinky finger? That shit is throwing up Q-Dog, dog. Like, that shit looked crazy. But the funny thing about this is, this was the era before YouTube, dog. Like,
yes.
You know, kids these days, they just go into YouTube and looking up highlights to learn this shit now. So.
No. It was like, to get NFL knowledge, you had to go to the made-for-TV products.
Darren's dance moves. He taught you all the NSYNC moves. Ain't no lie. Bah, bah, bah. That was a good one. I bought that guy.
I would have rather had Darren's dance moves or Tybo. I would have had Billy Blanks, Tybo.
Billy motherfucker.
That would have showed me more about getting off the line of scrimmage as a receiver than Torrey Holt's DVD would have.
Get the blue blocker sombrero freestyle home.
All I know
to tell you how to run that post route.
All I know is, if Torrey Holt has me in his success stories of his website, if he brings it back and he says success stories, for Andrew, sure. I am suing for everything
for
he
sure.
has, bro.
Oh, you gotta be like, yo, you don't believe me? Just ask NFL wide receiver Andrew Hawkins.
I'm telling you now, bro. If you put me in the testimonials, You will speak to my lawyers, bro. I'm coming for everything. I want them Super Bowl rings. They're going to be at my crib. I'm going to be a 7-year NFL vet with 3 Super Bowl rings, or however many he got. All right, football season is here, though. So I need predictions from you guys. Who is your Super Bowl champ this year, and who is your MVP? We'll start with you, Tyler.
I think we're in the Mahomes era. So, I mean, I know this is a safe pick. This is a boring pick, but he's the best football player in the world. I'm thinking he's getting an MVP and another ring.
All right, we got back-to-back. What you got, Amir? Yeah.
Going Giants, Super Bowl champs as the wild card. They're going to win 10 games. They're going to be the wild card. They're going to go on a magical run.
So Daniel Jones is your MVP.
Saquon Barkley.
Saquon, he got running back.
He got the cosign. When's the running back was MVP?
I was going to ask the same thing.
He got the cosign from OJ. So
what does that mean?
Hey,
that sounds like the worst cosign you could possibly get in this day and age.
Good enough for Juice is good enough for me.
Oh, man.
LaDainian Thompson was MVP, I think. Was probably the last one, right?
Maybe Adrian Peterson.
AP, yeah. I think
AP, yeah, AP for sure.
AP might have been it. If it's good enough for Juice, it's good enough for me. When I say you ain't going nowhere in life, it's going to get ugly for you in the latter part of your life. Juju, who you got? Super Bowl champ and MVP.
I got the Buffalo Bills playing the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl. it's gonna be 99-100, and the Philadelphia Eagles gonna, they might, I don't know who gonna win. I don't know who gonna have 99, who gonna have 100. But the game gonna be so good. Jalen Hurts gonna win an MVP, and Josh Allen, and they might share the Super Bowl because them are two, my two hearts.
Co-MVP
might be the worst prediction I've ever heard, ever on NFL.
Hey. And I mean, and I got the Giants winning.
And he got the Giants. And I was going to say that about his. And then Juju comes in with the most ridiculous prediction that I think I've ever heard.
What about you, Mr. Torrey Holt video?
Yeah. So from the Torrey Holt school of wide receiver, our prediction is Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. I do. I agree with what Tyler said. It is boring, but he is the best. But I think Lamar Jackson wins his second MVP this year.
Comeback season.
He seems like, for the reasons I stated earlier before you joined me, he is the kind of person who I think plays better when you give him his money. I think it's the, because a lot of people get paid and then they just like, they cash it in. That is not the Lamar Jackson. I think he puts up another career year to kind of stamp that, yes, all you needed to do was pay me and we could have been on this train.
So let me ask a question to everybody, because I am a notorious addict of Hard Knocks. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite show, man. Wow. And every year I watch Hard Knocks, I fall in love with who. It could be about anybody. It could be about Bethune-Cookman.
You have an infatuation with watching players lose their job. I get it. Go ahead.
Which, by the way, this year they've not given me enough of that at all. I'm kind of disappointed.
You messed up, bro.
But like, I'm watching Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, I think he might be able to do this, man. I don't know. I was wondering, like, when he was going in, I'm like, the guy's like 40. Come on, man. I watch Hard Knocks. I'm like, oh, you look good. So what are we thinking about the Jets?
You know, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is done. I think he's still got a couple good seasons in him. You know, Sauce Gardner, that's the guy right there.
He's legit.
Like, you know, you could say he's a top three cornerback in the league already, you know, just going into his second year. You know, I'll hear you out if you say he's the best, like first rookie all pro, like unheard of. But yeah, you know, I do think Rodgers still might have a little bit more in the tank. You know, that Jets defense is crazy. The offense was always the problem there. And shit, you bring a guy in like Aaron Rodgers, he might be able to fix it.
I think it's much to do about nothing. I think anybody who talks this much, any team that gets this much headlines and is this infatuated with being in the news, aren't actually good. That's just not typically how it works. So, you know, it's like pickleball. Everyone has a pickleball team, and they're like, oh, this is the next wave. If everybody's early, nobody's early. That's kind of how I feel about the Jets.
You just,
man,
on time?
Yeah, you're just there. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk some basketball when we get back. We're here on Journeyman. Yes, y'all, and we don't stop. All right, we would be remiss not to talk some hoops now that we got Amin in the house. We got Dragonfly Jones, Mr. NBA Twitter, and Juju. Juju is a aficionado of everything. There's nothing that Juju doesn't have a perspective on and an expertise. Look
got
at him.
Props, man.
He's ready, bro. Always, man.
Put Sydney on this cover. You see Sid had it the other day? She went crazy. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Nah,
Sid
went just so crazy facts. The other day.
Come on, man. Salute to my sister. Put her on the cover.
Salute. I agree. I appreciate it, man. All right. So, Team USA, they fell to, who was it, Lithuania?
Yeah.
Where are we at with NBA basketball? Noah Lyles, who is the fastest track runner, who I had no idea of until he made his NBA comment.
Exactly.
Be very clear, which might be a genius marketing move by him. He talked about how the NBA aren't really world champions. And here we are in the national stage, or the international stage, losing. Now, granted, our best players aren't playing, so there's that caveat. But still, I feel like we should be winning.
Well, first of all, Noah Lyles, it's not 2024. It's not a leap year, so we don't need to hear from you.
Yeah.
Leap years is when we hear from y'all. Just go ahead, go back into your hole and hide away. But, you know, it's national team play, so it's not like proving his point because there still isn't a club side anywhere in the world that's going to beat the Nuggets 4 out of 7 times. That's the thing that people don't understand. It's like, it's not like Jokic is going to go play for them in a 7-game. He's part of NBA. So
right. That's a good
like
point.
You still got to check him.
Yeah.
But in terms of the Lithuania game, it's a weakness for the USA. It's a small team. It's a smallish team in terms of no real size, beefy guys other than Walker Kessler. Even Jaren Jackson is kind of more of a slender combo guy. Mm-hmm. So there is a weakness in terms of the offensive glass. But also, it was a meaningless game. Not meaningless, but it's like for seeding purposes. But that was a knockout stage. We're in the knockout stage now. They played Italy today. They destroyed them. And I think things are going to go as planned up until there's only one team out there that I think, all right, they might be a problem. That's Canada. Canada's the one team where it's like, this is a worthy opponent in terms of can match the number of NBA players, the depth, and also they've got a little bit of hunger with them.
Mm. What do you think, Tyler? How does the Team USA turn things around?
Well, you know, the FIBA championships, bro, that's the JV squads. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and I think that losses like this that happen in FIBA play, I think that those are actually good for the Olympics because then guys in the NBA are like, all right, we can't fuck around. You know, we really got to get, you know, out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, you'll get, you know, your all NBA guys who sign up to be in the Olympics. But, you know, like a lot of people have been taking victory laps. Like, see, we told y'all that, you know, the Denver Nuggets aren't the real world champs because of the USA national team losing to Lithuania. And I don't see how that even correlates, you know, because like Amin said, you know, there is no team in the world that will beat the Denver Nuggets in 4 out of 7 games. And that's what I didn't understand during that whole conversation. It's like, bro, the NBA is the best league in the world. You know, the best players in the world go there. The best teams in the world are there. If you win the NBA championship, you are the best team in the world. Like, right. I didn't know why people were just being so dense about that. It just turned into an argument about semantics where people are like, well, it's technically a domestic league. No, it's not. It's a league that plays games in the United States. That's a global league that the best players in the world go to. So, like I said, you know, this loss to Lithuania doesn't really mean anything on that scale. I think this is like the third time Lithuania is beating us, right? Like those Eastern Europeans, bro, like they can hoop. You know what I'm saying? Right. So yeah, like I said, I don't think this means anything. And I do think that it's actually a good thing for, you know, the upcoming Olympic squad, because we might actually get some old NBA guys to roll out for this one.
Speaking of old NBA guys, Lamar Odom said that Kobe came to him in a dream. I don't remember exactly what he said Kobe said, but he said he's been visiting him in his dreams recently. And, you know, I just a larger conversation of like everybody still leans on Kobe a lot for someone who has passed away a couple of years ago now. And he is a legend. And obviously, I mean, he was my favorite athlete of all time. But don't we feel like people are starting to probably take advantage of his name a little bit here and there?
Starting?
Yeah, I mean, it's getting really bad. It's like when it was fresh, it was like, okay, we get it. Like, this is a thing you're paying. It felt a little closer to paying your respects. Now it feels like a little bit of exploitation.
Y'all don't want me to do this.
Come on, again, I want you to do it. I mean, pause, but I want you. Come on.
I asked this question when the whole Taylor Swift thing happened with his family, and I was like, how much longer are we doing this? Like, they're getting free tickets and, like, getting caught up on stage and stuff.
So you're calling out the family, bro, of all people? Saying, like, I'm talking about Lamar Odom getting visions and going on podcasts and saying
everybody's...
it. I'm okay with people giving the Bryant family basically red carpet, whatever they want for the end of time.
That's fine, but like, you know, like Taylor Swift go take off her hat and all that. Like, come on, man. Really? Like we do. I know what we're doing here.
What
right?
are we doing?
We're bartering off of his memory. I'm Taylor Swift. Like, how can I take this from a 9.5 or 9.8 to a 10?
Uh-huh.
Where's Kobe's family?
Yeah.
Bring them up front. I've got a hat to place on a child's head. Like, come on, man. What are we doing? Lamar Odom, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. Kobe's number two to Jesus right now in terms of prayers. Jesus is still number one. But, like, a close, he's coming, he's making a push. People calling on the Kobe name, man. And it's
who's taking the most advantage of Kobe's name, Tyler? Give me your perspective first. Who's taking the most advantage of Kobe Bryant's name to date?
Oh, it's Jason Tatum, no question. You know, Jason Tatum had that whole run, that postseason where he was like, you know, he was texting Kobe's number and all that. And I don't want to make light of that. Like, you know, I know people grieve in their own, you know, unique ways. So. But I will say what was unique to me about Lamar Odom's statement here is, I feel like he broke some new ground on this one, right? Because, like, people's notion of the afterlife is either it's incredible, like it's heaven, you know what I'm saying? Or it's terrible, like it's hell, or there's nothing there. You just die and that's it. And I don't think I've ever heard anybody say, yo, the afterlife is just mid, bro. Like this shit kind of weak low-key, you know what I'm saying? I don't think we've ever heard that perspective about the afterlife before. So I'm intrigued. I think Lamar needs to expand on this a bit. I want to hear more. I ain't going to lie to you.
What do you think of me?
He's like, it's hours of COVID. Like, we got Spectrum upstairs, so we don't get ESPN anymore. I've had to get you someone
C-SPAN
else.
C-SPAN Detroit, you know?
Come on, man.
Not C-SPAN Detroit. It does seem like people are doing a lot for theatrics at times. in the name of Kobe Bryant, rest in peace to the legend
rest
himself.
In peace.
Speaking of more theatrics, Ja Morant is back in the gym. And that's not news. That's a good thing. Ja Morant is one of the most talented young basketball players in the world. And you could tell Noah allows that. That is fact, okay? What he's in the gym wearing has been interesting to a lot of people. It's been T-shirts with plain words on them, like gratitude, rebirth, accountability. And so I want to get perspective. Juju, what are your thoughts, man? I know Juju going to take the sunny side of things.
Most
always.
Positive man.
What do you think, Juju, of...
First of all, Lamar Odom, they need to make sure that tweet didn't come from the Bunny Ranch.
Oh,
but good. I don't know who he, you feel me? We know his history. So let's make sure, let somebody check on my boy Lamar. He might have seen him for real. You feel me? But I think the next thing on Ja Morant t-shirts, I don't know, Juvenile featuring Birdman, Bounce Back.
Bounce Back? I don't mind the t-shirts if they're, Gildean? What are the t-shirts you can just get? Like, if they're Nike t-shirts and this is a part of a rollout, if we rolling back out Ja Morant as a brand and Nike is funding this like a booster in NIL deals, then I'm like, okay, nah, I don't want to hit. But if they're Gildan and he's going to get them printed himself, Gildan, is that what it is, Gildan? Gildan, if they're Gildan t-shirts, Gildan is not a sponsor of Journeyman. I want to put that out there. But I do endorse their t-shirts. They could be. But hey, you know, we open. But if they're that, then I'm okay with it.
Nah, man.
No?
Look, I'm rooting for Ja Morant hard, man. Like, he's one of my favorite players. Yeah. I think he's genuinely a good kid who's just a knuckle. You know, just young and dumb. Like I said, the first time we were talking about it months and months ago, right?
Yep.
You got to understand, for this kid, old school music is Soulja Boy. That's dang, like old school.
That's
throwback
crazy
for him, right?
I was rocking Snuggies when Soulja Boy was hot.
So I really think like this is a opportunity for him to find himself and all that. But dog, stop with the corniness, man. Just play basketball. You don't have to have a t-shirt. You don't have to do a campaign. Just play. I swear to God, play basketball. Don't play with guns. You'll be fine. Trust me. Because he's good at it. He's good at playing basketball.
He's good at playing with guns too, Tyler.
I think Nike's doing too much right here. I feel like Nike's just someone who will never let a good controversy go to waste, right? Like, I mean, you know, you got the man wearing shirts that say redemption, and I'm like, bro, redemption for what? Like, you cosplayed as NBA Youngboy. You didn't do anything terrible, bro. You're just flashing guns on Instagram. I promise you, the easiest thing to not do is flash guns on Instagram. I've never done it a day in my life. You know what I'm saying? It's very easy to not do what Job got in trouble for doing. But I'm for sure, I love Job. I think he's a phenomenal talent. I do think that, you know, he was just doing knucklehead shit. And I think that he's going to be, going down the right path, hopefully.
Tyler, you ain't never flashed no guns on Instagram?
Nah.
That shit is fun, bro.
Bro, you missing out.
There's a thrill that's invigorating.
Use that close friends, though. Yeah, that's what I'll say.
Use it to a T. We're going to come back next week for Journeyman, and we're going to do a whole episode with Tyler just flashing the straps on IG.
I actually do have a gun safe, too.
I don't even have a gun, and I'm getting served those ads. My algorithm is algorithming crazy. All right, but that's it for this week's Journeyman. We appreciate all of you joining us. Make sure you journey back to us next week. Same time, same place. Shout out to my guy, Juju. Shout out to my guy, Dragonfly Jones, and Amin El-Hassan for joining us here on Journeyman. Until next time, they didn't believe in us. God did.
I did.
Kobe did.
Nice.
Exactly.
Kobe did. No remixes.
We gotta edit that to where I said God did, and then Tyler just says Kobe did.
Yeah, please let Bean rest, man.